lost to ignorance and confusion. Three men arose from humble beginnings with a message of wisdom and hope for their troubled times. Three men who would eventually change the very face of humanity.
But they fell off a cliff. So, here are some other guys.
It's Song Talk Radio with Bruce, Neil, and Phil.
Good evening and welcome to Song Talk Radio with Bruce, Neil, and Phil for episode number 159. Broadcasting to you live on CJRU 1280 AM in beautiful Toronto, Canada. We are streaming to you live on the web at songtalk.ca/livestream. Song Talk Radio is still the show with songwriters talking about songwriting to the other songwriters, and then that's a craft.
It's a songwriting.
Brand new songwriters, established professionals, everybody can share tips, techniques, and cool things, and then we become a little bit better at writing songs. I'm wearing makeup tonight because I had my, how's it look?
It's perfect for radio, Bruce.
Remarkably lifelike.
I'm your host, Bruce Herrett, and I'm wearing concealer under my eyes. And joining me tonight, as always, the intrepid members of the Song Talk Radio Action Team, Mr. Phil Emery.
And I'm wearing women's underwear.
Oh, right. We didn't need to know that.
TMI.
I'm not supposed to say that before 9 o'clock. And over here, Mr. Neil Modi.
Greetings. I'm wearing yellow socks.
All right. Putting us out there in the world of social media and wearing the only person
in blue
Valentine's regalia. She's got her Valentine's shirt on and socks is Vanessa Vreeland.
Yay!
And over on the technical side of things at the board, as we call it, the board, it's the mixing board, is Eitan Ryan.
Eitan, yay!
And we'd like you to be part of the show. Send your comments and questions to @SongTalkRadio on the Twitterverse, and we'll share them with the listeners in real time. And stop by our website at songtalk.ca where you can find the lyrics.
Yes. No.
Yes.
You can.
Yes. You can find the lyrics. Just
fancy
the
that.
Yeah. You can also find out how to be a guest. We're now booking in June and July for this year. And at this point, we would be happy to hear from you and go on a waiting list, basically, right? So it's Valentine's Day. So we're having a very special show. It's a day of love.
It's a love-in.
It's a day
tonight,
of...
Day a very of, special Song Talk Radio.
Radio Song Talk Radio. Well, it's a day of love and a day of misery because, you know, sometimes love is painful. Sometimes it's wonderful.
Love
you have
hurts.
Songs, Love Hurts. That's a good song title. Then you have Lost Love. You have found love, and you know you even have lost and found love.
But today we're going to have positive love.
We're going to have very positive love. There aren't really any depressing songs on the bill tonight. Nope. So what we decided was each member of the Song Talk Radio team would choose one song that they feel is a good love song, basically, just out of the many, many songs. So we're going to hear five tunes tonight, and each person is going to introduce their song. And then we're going to listen to it, and then we're going to chat a bit about it. And we'd love to hear what you think of our choices tonight.
And we'd love to actually hear what your favorite love songs are, too.
Absolutely. Let us know.
Yes. Why not? So the first song tonight is we're going alphabetically, so Bruce goes first.
How did that happen?
I'm always – it's always Bruce, Neil, and Phil. I'm always at the end.
That's right.
Yeah, well, you're
desserts always last, Phil.
You're alphabetically challenged. Listen, so I recently discovered this – songwriter. He was a child actor, teenage actor. He was in something called Spud, all three movies with John Cleese. It was an Australian film. And his name is Troy Sivan, and he's from Australia, originally from South Africa. And what he's done is he released this album called Blue Neighborhood, and it's gone skyrocketed. He's got built a huge following on YouTube, first of all, and then got a record deal and put this out, and it's he's gone huge. He's touring and everything. Why I chose it was because it's a song written by a teenager who's gay and who's out gay. He came out on YouTube, and his songs are written about guys. And in his videos, he falls in love with a guy. And there's a whole drama. There's a series of three videos about them. It's not working, and then it's working, and the father, the other guy's father gets mad and wants to beat him up about it. And so lots of drama. So when I was growing up, I knew that I was attracted to guys, too, and I was wishing there would be music like this, and it did not exist.
No.
Because back in those days, it was illegal, also a mental illness, and just not a good thing to talk about. So I was really liberated by listening to this, to Troy Sivan and his works. And the one I chose is called Wild, and it's just a really cool song about being wildly and madly in love with someone. Here it is, Wild, written by Alex Hope and Troy Millett.
Trying on nothing. about to fall. On the way home, you were trying to wear me down, down. Kissing up on fences and up on walls. On the way home, I guess it's all working out now. Cause there's still too long to the weekend, too long till I drown in your hands, too long since I've been a fool. Leave this blue neighborhood, never knew loving could hurt this good. Oh, it drives me wild. Cause when you look like that, I've never ever wanted to be so bad. Oh, it drives me wild. You're driving me wild, wild, wild. You're driving me wild, wild. You're driving me wild. Hey! White noise in my mind won't calm down. You're all I think about. Running on the music and night highs. But when the light's out, it's me and you now. Now. Cause there's still too long to the weekend, too long till I got near your hands, too long since I've been a fool. Leave this blue neighborhood, never knew loving could hurt this good. Oh, it drives me wild. Cause when you look like that, I've never ever wanted to be so bad. Oh, you're driving me wild. You're driving me wild, wild, 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 wild. You make my heart shake, bend and break. But I can't turn away and it's driving me wild. You're driving me wild. You make my heart shake, bend and break. But I can't turn away and it's driving me wild. You're driving me wild. Leave this blue neighborhood. Never knew loving could hurt this good. Oh, it drives me wild. Cause when you look like that, I've never ever wanted to be so bad. Oh, it drives me wild. You're driving me wild, wild, wild. You're driving me wild, wild, wild. You're driving me wild, wild, wild. You're driving me wild.
And that was Wild, Troy Sivan on vocals there, Alex Hope and Troy Millett. We can't quite figure out why he's called Troy Millett as a writer, maybe as a stage name, we don't know. That was Wild. What did you think, guys?
Well, I thought it's certainly a very modern song in terms of the way the melody is handled. Modern songs, they don't have a very big range in terms of the melodies. When you think of, like, Somewhere Over the Rainbow, like, somewhere, you know, these huge, you know, octave jumps, and they don't do it very...
Most modern
music. Yeah, most music now is very...
limited.
However, I will take... I just want to make a point. Now, in the video, he's, you know, talking about gay issues, which is important, but the song really doesn't talk about, like, this is very neutral. It could be
neutral.
It's for everyone.
It's for everybody. Yeah. It's very inclusionary that way.
Whereas I'm thinking about someone like Carol Pope when she did High School Confidential back in the 80s, and she was talking about another girl.
Yeah.
And then the Bronski Beat, you know, was talking, you know, very quickly.
Guys,
and even the Smiths, you know, talked very much about
that.
Well,
I think Troy will evolve into that. Like, I think he'll eventually get to sing a song like I think George Michael eventually was singing about guys. But it takes a while. I think it evolves into your recording artist persona. You say, well, now I'm just going to completely come out. But the thing is, you know, for people who aren't gay, there's you don't realize how there's absolutely no music for you in popular music. There's no song where a guy's singing about a guy and a girl singing about a girl. Yeah. There's like little tiny bit. So in essence, you feel like that love you have does not exist.
Right,
and that's why it's politically so powerful to have a top pop artist write a song where the lyrics say, the guy says, and then I met him and then we went on a date and it was great and we fell in love.
Mm-hmm.
It's very cool.
Mm-hmm.
It takes a lot of guts for an artist to do that.
Too. Oh,
absolutely.
It
still ain't that friendly. There's certain countries in the world where they would not be allowed to tour, for example, right?
Mm-hmm. What do you think, Neil?
I quite enjoyed it. It is super catchy. It's got a lot of different sections to it, actually. There's a verse, and there's like a pre-chorus, and there's another pre-chorus, mm-hmm. and then there's and then there's the hook, and then the chorus, and then there's that then there's that millennial thing that all the kids seem to be doing now with the the non-verbal pop hook, right? Which seems to get thrown around quite a lot,
and it's got a cool bridge.
Yeah, and then there's a breakdown in the bridge and everything.
Bend and break, yeah.
Yeah, but I mean, as far as the love song is concerned, it's a good title. It's a good notion, you know, like the driving me wild kind of thing, like that puts that extra little bit of puts a little twist on you know, on just aside from saying I love you.
Well, I like this thing where he says, when you look like that at me, I guess I've never ever wanted to be so bad, you know, to misbehave, kind of like I miss me, mm-hmm. just get. Get naked, I guess, right on, basically. And I love that. I mean, certainly when you listen to pop songs by Bruno Mars, he's actually, you know, he's being very explicit even on pop radio about a woman.
Yeah, it's
right?
True.
You know, like something about heaven, locked out of heaven, all this stuff.
Yeah, there was a little bit of that kind of tension here because, like the line, never knew loving could hurt this good.
Mm.
You know, like it's hurting, but it's good. It's like, you know, it's actually capturing a bit of that kind of nuance.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. I mean, I think anybody who's been in love knows that it's got all kinds of nuances of feelings in it. The longing to connect and the fear of being lost, and then the inevitable fights that come up and stuff. So
how now? What do you think the rest of the family thinks about it?
Well, Vanessa, we have just about a minute left on this tune. Any comments on whether you enjoy the song or?
Yeah, I like it's nice and upbeat and poppy. Like it's very catchy. Yeah, I found myself dancing to it.
Oh, there you go. It's a dance.
Yeah.
Banjo yourself in a club with the lights kind of flashing.
Yeah, of course. I could see easily like listening to it a lot because it's like it gets stuck in your head. But in a good way, not like you know, it was irritating and I can't get rid of it. No, it's good.
It's actually kind of a slow tempo for a dance song. Isn't
it is.
Yeah.
It's a ballad. So we're going to march on to A10, and you've brought in a tune tonight, A10. Can you tell us a bit about It Must Be Love?
I can indeed. So basically, I have brought in Madness, who are one of my favorite bands. So
brilliant.
When we were given the task of think of a tune, the first thing that came to my mind was this, It Must Be Love. It's a bit cheeky. It's a bit upbeat. It's not quite what you think of as a ballad or a mushy love song. It's got a simpleness, but it will also make you dance, which I think is very important with love song.
Right on.
So, okay. I don't know. I just found out today as well that I thought it was actually a song by Madness themselves, but it's actually a cover of a song, and I hope I'm not butchering this poor man's name, Leiby Sifry. So it actually was released by him in 1971 and reached number 14 in the charts in the UK. And Madness released it then in 1981.
Okay. Well, yeah, there you go.
So without further ado, here is Madness, It Must Be Love.
I never thought I'd miss you half as much as I do. And I never thought I'd feel this way, the way I feel about you. As soon as I wake up, every night, every day, I know that it's you I need to take the blues away. It must be love, love, love.
can say so much without words. Bless you and bless me. Bless the bees and the birds.
It's love, love, love everywhere here.
Skanking boys.
Sonotonic Radio. We're in the love mood tonight. That was Madness singing the tune It Must Be Love, and that was Eitan's choice. What a cool song, and I've just apparently this is in the style of ska. So, Phil, what does that mean?
Well, ska is actually a precursor to reggae.
It was a precursor.
I
thought it was like post.
No, actually, it started off. In fact, if you listen to really, really old Bob Marley, they're actually doing ska.
Oh.
It was actually done in the 60s.
What would be the defining principle of ska that makes it different from
anything
else?
Well, actually, all the rhythms they have, it's very syncopated. So you have very simple, like the drums are very usually often very kind of straight, and the guitar is just going chunk, chunk, and then the bass is kind of walking. And it's I used to play reggae, and I actually the first time I heard reggae when I was a kid, I fell in love with it. Mm. And the reason I love it is because no one does a lot, but it becomes this fantastic engine. So it's like the total non.
Ska is usually a little more upbeat than reggae, isn't it?
Yeah, it's rhythmically a bit simpler. Reggae tends to have the drop on the three, so it's 1 2 3 4 or 1 2 3 4.
And
as opposed to the is 1 2 3 4 1 2 3 4
Okay. And it probably came from a dance tradition, right? It was probably dance music originally.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Well, they're both dance music, but it's like Madness was one of the bands. Like I got really into the ska. I saw the English Beat on the Much Music, and they're part of the Two Tone Revolution with the Specials, the Selector, the Equators, and Madness. And Madness was sort of the most musically sophisticated of the bands, and I must admit I didn't appreciate it at the time, and now their stuff is so good.
So, Eitan, what drew you to Madness? Madness.
Madness. I was always a fan of like ska and reggae music, and basically I was listening to Madness. It was Baggy Trousers was the song that got me into them.
Oh, yeah.
I also used to wear trousers that you could fit about five people into each leg as well. So this song had a special place in my heart. And basically, I listened to all their music, and there's something about them. It's happy. You listen to Madness, and I defy you not to have a smile on your face and a bit of a bounce in your step once you listen to them.
It's the end of this chorus. Nothing more, nothing less. Love is the best. Yeah. You get away with the line, love is the best.
I know, that's
it's very unabashed, isn't
it? Yeah,
absolutely.
Simple.
But I will say there's just one, like there's a phrase in it that gets me each time, like how can it be that we can say so much without words? And I just think that is just beautiful. I don't know. There's something about that that gets me. So,
yeah, it'd be interesting to hear what the original song was actually.
You know what? I had a little listen today, and
oh yeah,
yeah. You can just, you know what? It's a beautiful song, and it's not too far off. Really, what they've done is they've put that sort of nutty madness reggae beat to it. And I was saying to Neil before the show that basically I was reading up about it today, and it turns out that they used to do it as an encore at their concerts, and they'd no intention of recording it. They'd do it as an encore, and it was so successful that the label manager was like, "Guys, come on, like let's put this on a record and get it out." And they were like, "No, no interest." So
really?
He bet them that if it didn't chart in the top five, that they could have his record label. So clearly a good bet to take. They took it on, and luckily enough for him, Dave Robson, they charted at number 4 in the UK. Ooh, so
barely made it in.
So Vanessa.
I just asked our listeners on Twitter what your favorite love song is, and Tony Burns replied in, our favorite, Lies by Stan Rogers.
Lies?
Lies.
Oh, Stan Rogers. Stan Rogers. He's wonderful.
Yeah. Okay. So, yeah, send us in your tweets so that we
thank
can
you.
Yeah, yeah.
Thank you, Tony. Was that a happy love song, Lies, or...
Doesn't sound like
no.
it.
No. I don't think much. Stan Rogers was I don't think a lot of his stuff is very... happy. Well, Rise Again might be kind of happy, I suppose. Mm. Stuff is kind of loving.
Well, this Madness song is certainly a happy love song. I mean,
yeah.
There's absolutely nothing dark or negative or anything about it.
No, it's just fun.
It's fun.
It's fun.
Well, and rhythmically, it's very sophisticated. It's well worth listening to the stuff because the music is all the pieces of the rhythm section are very carefully considered, and which makes it that kind of a groove. And I've always loved groove music. And it's well, you know, for a songwriter, it's good. It's worthwhile to explore this.
Yeah, I thought I could hear both saxophone and harp in there, or some instrument was plunk, 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 plunk.
Violins.
What is it?
Picasso. Pizzicato.
I mean, it also reminded me of the Beatles because they did things where they brought in like a band, and then there'd be a violin.
There's a little bit of classical music stuff going on in here with the piano runs whatnot.
But everything. I think the Beatles really opened that up with Penny Lane Sergeant Pepper, certainly, of the idea of, well, let's just throw in a brass band and see what happens on a pop song.
Great. Right? Yeah.
Lots of experiment. Well, Neil, I think it's your time to shine here.
Right.
Neil has brought us a song called Back in Your Arms Again by Maverick, one of his favorite bands.
Yeah, well, I wouldn't necessarily call them one of my favorite bands, but they're certainly one of the bands that I've gotten into a little bit more lately.
It's not fair to have favorites, is it?
Not fair to have favorites. No. Everybody's great.
We love them.
Everybody's awesome. But I picked this song just because it's so earnest and so like straightforward, and I've also like the twist that they put on the sort of conventional love thing. It's like the hook is really "Here I am back in your arms again," which kind of is a nice image. You know, it's a little more specific than "Hey, let's get together" or "Hey, I love you" or that sort of thing. And it's and on top of that, it's just a super catchy tune.
All right, let's have a listen. This is "Back in Your Arms Again" by Maverick. I know I said never.
Okay, that was Back in Your Arms Again by the Mavericks. Songwriters Gary Nicholson, Raoul Malo, and Seth Walker. And for those of you just joining us, you are listening to Song Talk Radio with Bruce, Neil, and Phil on CJRU 1280 AM in Toronto. And tonight we're talking about love songs that we love to love. Love.
Baby.
Love. Baby. Don't forget, we love to hear from you. So tweet us in your thoughts. Tell us what your favorite love songs are. Let us know at Song Talk Radio on Twitter, via email, feedback@songtalk.ca, and we'll share your thoughts in real time. And you can find links to all the products, books, and web services we mention on Song Talk Radio. There's no books on love songs, are there?
Well,
is
oh,
there?
Yes, I'm sure.
Writing
I'm sure.
Love
on
songs,
writing them.
Maybe.
Yeah, I'm sure there is.
Probably. Okay, we'll have to dig one of those up. And you can find all that stuff on our resources page, songtalk.ca/resources. Coming up in the on Song Talk Radio in the coming weeks. Next week, February 21st, we have the return of Audio Insurgency.
Ooh, that's going to be good.
And February 28th, we are to be determined. And March 7th, we have Jeremy Voltz, one of our superstars from the meetup group.
Incredibly
very
talented
young
dude.
Man. And if you're in the Toronto area, please join us for our next Songwriters Roundtable meetup on Wednesday, February 15th.
It's tomorrow!
That's great.
7 to 10 p.m. at the Transat Club. Free to join on meetup and free to attend the roundtable. Stop by songtalk.ca/meetup for all the details. Back to you, Bruce.
Okay, great. Are you going to come by, Phil, tomorrow night?
Okay.
We'll talk. Well, because we've got to talk patch cords. If you don't have a patch cord at the meetup, it's really challenging, you know?
Yeah.
So let's just get some reactions to that very cool Mavericks song. Phil, what did you think?
Well, it's great. It had that interesting syncopation like what we did the song before. I mean, it was simpler than the song before, but you said it's almost kind of a polka, but you had the bass going at 1 2 1 3 mm-hmm. 1 3 and then the guitar and the snare hitting on 2 and 4 mm-hmm. So 1 2 3 4 mm-hmm. unja 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 mm-hmm. unja it's great, really a wonderful melodic range, and great things working with the backing vocals, which kind of made stuff kind of really just a great little tune, and nice mariachi feel to it, you know.
Yeah, the mariachi thing happened.
Yeah. Eitan, what did you think?
I really enjoyed it. I was dancing away over here. I have to say, the Mavericks, it's a band I'm not super familiar with, but what I've heard, I've enjoyed.
Vanessa?
I was super surprised. I didn't think that was going to be the type of song that you would pick, but it was so catchy with the mariachi. I loved it.
You didn't know that Neil was a big country music fan?
No.
Oh.
This ain't country.
No.
Well, what kind of...
Mavericks are country, but this song, and this album in particular, in time, I don't think it's a little more pop
and rock. It's not death metal.
Actually.
Well, it's got the mariachi in there, so it's
got the mariachi thing.
But it was so
Southwest.
Great.
It is very Southwest.
It feels like it's come from Texas, down in Texas or somewhere near the Mexican border.
I think clearly these guys have been doing it a long time. Like, it's very, very crafty. Right.
Well crafted,
and no chorus per se. It's just a verse and a tagline, and then a B section.
Is that the "Here I Am Back in Your Arms"?
It's just a tagline.
It's catchy.
It's catchy. Interesting when you because I actually thought there's another song called "Back in Your Loving Arms Again."
Oh,
which I used to cover in the reggae band.
Mm.
You can see me now. The one who said he would rather roam. I think it's another, you know, soul song. Mm-hmm. But it's interesting how Back in Your Arms Again is a recurring theme.
Yeah, I suppose. But I still find that an interesting twist on the typical I Love You kind of thing.
Yeah, right? No, that's true. I love the way, like, the rhythms of the What Does It Matter to a Lovesick Fool. I mean, they weren't the way they handle the lyrics, they weren't kind of plonky. They had these nice sort of syncopations and... Mm-hmm. You know, lovesick fool, I'll come back to you, you know. I mean, it's really long lines, but they didn't sound long, you know.
And even on the hook, he keeps you guessing, because here I am, back in your arms again. It's like, damn, you were supposed to come in 2 beats early, but you didn't.
Yeah.
So they're really fun of keeping you, and just for our listeners at home, that's called tension, is when you hold back. So Neil's talked a lot about this in the past, about the balance between fulfilling an expectation in the listener and interrupting expectation in the listener and frustrating expectation at the other end, where they're expecting something and they never get it, and then they're just kind of angry, or they get what they were expecting and went, well, that's boring, I expected that. So it is quite a talent, like these guys did, to put these little surprises in phrasing, even. Like when you're writing your tunes, sometimes it's just think about leaving some space.
Yes.
Because both in Wild, there were two or three breakdowns that were so amazing from a, oh, that's a lot of the producer's work, but just this wall of a whole bunch of all kinds of cool things happen, and then just a voice and a piano, or a voice and a guitar, and it's like, whoosh, down into this simplicity. It always gives me the shivers when that happens, because I guess it's dynamism. It's a dynamic thing.
Yes, dynamics. Yeah, yeah.
Dynamics. And so that's really important. We just had a rehearsal on the weekend for a gig that we're playing, and we threw in dynamics where, you know, we wanted to perk up the song. So here, let's just, like, leave a space, and then let's go, you know, and all that. And it makes music.
Yeah, it's a huge difference.
And it's time to move to Phil's choice.
Finally, yes.
Papa Jean's Blues by Michael Nesmith of the Monkees.
That's right. Now, this is the first song I had actually listened to when I was a kid. And, of course, the Monkees were well into the syndication at this point. But I remember watching this show, the episode, and it was the first time I was conscious of, wow, what a great song. It was the first time, and it stuck with me to the point where I actually looked for it like decades later, because I just remember the song. Now, this is another issue where the title of the song is not in the song, which made it, again, hard for me to find.
Yes.
So, again, a reoccurring theme for me. but this is Michael Nesmith. He's he was actually a songwriter signed to a label, and he had stuff performed by Linda Ronstadt, the Stone Ponies, and Uncle Charlie and his dog Teddy, or the Nitty Gritty Dirt Band.
So he was out of L.A.
He was out of L.A. And he's done a bunch of solo stuff. The thing to listen that really grabbed me with this song is, if listen to the way it goes into the chorus. It's an interesting chorus, and in the chorus is sort of musically unusual, a little bit unusual as well, just the way he handles it, and it was kind of, and it just stuck to for me. It's a really simple little.
Are we going to hear the Monkees singing it?
Yeah, this is him. This is actually
the Monkees.
Yeah, oh, and he performed the rhythm guitar on it. The drummer of the Monkees actually played percussion on it, as the only time he actually played on any of the records. But Mike Nesmith wrote a bunch of the songs. He wrote The Girl I Knew Somewhere, Mary Mary, Listen to the Band, and You Just May Be the One, which you should listen to, because it actually goes in between 5-4 and 4-4.
Oh, neat.
And it's a Monkey song. So let's...
Michael Nesmith song, Papa Jean's Blues. Here we go.
No heart is felt, no loss is lonely. Nights of waiting finally won me happiness that's all rolled up in you. And now with you as inspiration, I look toward a destination sunny, bright, that once before was blue. I have no more than I did before, but now I've got all that I need. For I love you and I know you love me. So take my hand outside my journey, free from all the helpless worry that besets a man when he's alone. More strength is mine when we're together, and with you I know I'll never have to pass the high road for the low. I have no more than I did before, but now I've got all that I need. For I love you and I know you love me.
Play, Magic Finger. Yee-haw! Oh, kick it, loser.
I have no more than I did before, but now I've got all that I need. For I love you and I know you love me. Yes, I love you and I know you love me.
And that was Papa Jean's Blues by Michael Nesmith of the Monkees.
And the Monkees.
Very cool.
Guess who else wrote for the Monkees?
Neil Diamond
wrote Daydream Believer, didn't he?
He wrote a lot of stuff. Yeah, yeah. No, they were good.
So they were an interesting, for those of you too young to remember, the Monkees was a show that was kind of a send-up of the Beatles with a funny name of a band, and it was all about them as a band and hanging out together. And Davy Jones was the British lead singer,
yeah.
And all the girls had a crush on him, and some had a crush on Michael Nesmith. So they became actually pop stars, even though only two of them were musicians.
Musicians, yeah. Yeah. The other ones were.
So I'm curious, Phil, what to you struck you that this is a great love song, as a love song? What's
well, of course, you know, when you're six, you know, you don't really like pay attention, and yeah. this grabbed me musically, and I think what it was the turn into the chorus that just hit me. It's a very, it's kind of unusual, but it's not clumsy and unusual. It's
were
a
story, you were in love with cool. a girl in grade?
Oh,
two,
I've liked girls since grade one.
Yeah. So no,
they didn't really like me until a couple of years ago. So
yeah, well, that's an improvement. So, but Neil asked you a good question. Like, you chose it specifically as a love song, not just a six-year-old song that you like. Well, so you like the sentiment in it, or?
Well, I like the one thought is, like, you know, I have no more than I did before, but now I've got all that I need. I mean, especially, and it's interesting because I think that's sort of an adult point, because when you don't, it's like, you know, I don't have anything more than I have now, but my life has sort of changed. And that's kind of an interesting
love.
I was initially going to be suggesting doing the Smiths, There's a Light That Never Goes Out.
It's a beautiful song.
But I lost my Smiths record for the fourth time, and I refused to buy another one.
Oh, you could have asked me. I could have brought it.
Okay.
Yeah, anyway, it's pretty cool that actually you managed to use the word Bassett's.
Yes.
In this, the Bassett's a man when he's all alone.
It's
a cool
it
line, too.
Good, yeah.
Yeah, it's a great line, actually.
Yeah.
What year was it written, do you know? Was it in the 60s?
Oh, yeah. And it was...
Sounds 66. Like 66. Was it?
66.
Yeah. 66. Okay, cool.
Yeah. How about you, Bruce?
I thought it was really fun. I was really caught up in the rhythm section and the mix, because we got two little good speakers here in the studio, but I was hearing, like, percussion over in the far corner of the studio. I don't know. The way it was, like, it was mixed really hot and really high.
Yeah.
And the percussion was pushed. So it was just really fun. You can see them bopping around on the stage doing it. And kids really liking it, because it was really basically a kid show. It was a teen show.
Yeah.
Kind of, and they were just silly and fun. The comedy was very, very broad and slapstick.
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
you
know? Sure, yeah.
It was just silly. But I liked it. What about you, Vanessa? Could you groove to that one?
Yeah, I really liked it. I grew up listening to a lot of music from the 60s, so I really enjoyed it. And I used to watch, back in the day, the Monkees on Much More Music, which is not a station anymore. So I did used to watch it and loved it. So I thought, this is great. And it's very, upbeat and poppy and catchy and reminiscent of stuff that I used to listen to when I was younger.
Mm. Eitan, what about in Ireland? Did the Monkees make it to Ireland?
I'm sure they did, but unfortunately, it'd be my mother would have to verify that.
Bit of an age gap in the studio here.
Slightly, but yeah. I agree with you 100%, Bruce. I love the percussion in that. Like, I could hear, it was like... And it was amazing. That was really great percussion in that song.
Makes it danceable.
Yeah, no, it's great. And I guess, and again, I love that turn into the chorus. It's an interesting chorus. And actually, you know, I think as a songwriter, it's, you know, getting into that break, going into the chorus, can really, like, raise the song, and it's good to explore different ways of doing it instead of going, you know, from 1 to 4, 1 to 5. You know, I did a bunch of songs where I would drop a tone to go into the chorus, which is sort of a fun way of doing it.
Okay.
You have to do some funny stuff to get back into the original chorus, but it'd be a good, you know, it's good to be conscious of how that change from the verse to the chorus goes, you know?
Well, they say, and we've talked often here about the chorus needs to be a lift. Does it? Do you have to do a lift when you go into the chorus, either a melodic lift
or a sonic lift?
A change, but it doesn't have to be lift up, like be necessarily... louder or...
Yeah. Before I forget...
A tweet.
We just got an email. Sharon's, who's a frequent tweeter, her favorite love song is Foreigner, A Girl Like You.
Oh, yeah, okay.
For a girl like you.
Oh, nice. They did another huge
early
song
80s, maybe,
that was even a bigger love song, didn't they, Foreigner?
You might be thinking of Kansas and Love Hurts.
Who did I Want to Know What Love Is? Foreigner.
I want to know what love is.
Won't you show me? That was much bigger. But Sharon, thank you. And we'll have a listen. Great. What was it called again?
Foreigner, For a Girl Like You.
For a Girl Like You. Okay. Well, our listeners, get on Spotify now or get on YouTube.
After the show.
After the show and listen to that tune. That sounds like a lot of fun. Well, moving right along, it is time to showcase Vanessa's choice, and she's brought in a song by Jewel, co-written by who did she write this
by
one?
By Steve Poltz.
Steve Holtz?
Poltz.
With a P.
Steve with a P. Poltz wrote this. And a lot of people know Jewel. She's a wonderful, inventive songwriter and had a huge following, in the 90s?
Yeah. In the mid to late 90s.
She's probably a grandmother now or something. Anyway, the song is called You Were Meant for Me. Do you want to talk a bit about it?
Yeah. I grew up mostly in the 90s. So I'd love to go back there anytime. That's not possible. So I just have always loved this song. And every time I listen to it, or at least in different stages of my life, it means something else. But when you listen to it, it's kind of mature sounding. But I think she was only like 20 or 21 when she wrote this song. And this is apparently everyone else picked really happy upbeat songs today. But I picked a bit of a downer. But I don't find it too down. I kind of really like it. But it reached number one in the charts, and it's from 1996, and it became super popular.
All right, let's have a listen. This is Jewel with You Were Meant for Me.
It's 6 a.m. I feel so far from where I've been. I got my eggs, I got my pancakes too. I got my maple syrup, everything but you. I break the yolks and make a smiley face. I kinda like it in my brand new place. Wipe the spots off of the mirror, don't leave my keys in the door. I never put wet towels on the floor anymore, 'cause dreams last so long, even after you're gone. I know that you love me, and so you will see you're meant for me. My mama, she was out for a walk. Consulted a cup of coffee, but I didn't want to talk. So I picked up the paper, it was more bad news. My heart's being broken, paper being used. Put on my coat in the pouring rain. I saw a movie, it just wasn't the same. 'Cause it was happy, I was sad, and it made me miss you. Was so bad, 'cause dreams last so long, even after you're gone. I know that you love me, and soon you will see. Brush my teeth, I put the cap back on. I know you hate it when I leave the light on. I pick a book up and then I turn the sheets down. And then I take a deep breath, a good look around. Put on my PJs and hop into bed. I'm half alive.
but I feel mostly dead. I try and tell myself it'll all be alright. I just shouldn't think anymore tonight, cause dreams last so long, even if they're gone. And I know that you love me, and soon you will see you'll remember me, and I'll swim for you. Yeah, you're meant for me, and I.
That was Jewel. You Were Meant for Me. Good pick, Vanessa. I didn't
Thank
find
you.
That depressing at all. So,
not depressing.
It's not depressing,
just,
but it is a little bit
not
sad.
Upbeat.
It's emotional.
Yes.
Hey,
excellent.
I love an emotional song. What attracted you to it? Were you going through a time where you could relate, or just was a universal feeling of missing a guy? Or
I think it's because I remember from when I was younger, when I remember when that song came out, and then I heard it a couple of years ago, having not heard it for many years, and it was like, whoa, this is still a great song. I could listen to it a million times and not get tired of it. But yeah, if you're not paying attention to it, you'd think it's like an angry, bitter song because of the beat and the tone. But if you listen to the lyrics, it's kind of positive. But
in what way?
It's fairly balanced.
Yeah,
she's getting on with
her
life.
Like, I'll be okay. I know we're meant to be together, and I'll give you some time, and maybe you'll realize it too. But if not, you know, I'm not bitter. I don't wish ill will on you. And she kind of sounds like she's saying, I'm a better person because of you. Like, I don't leave wet towels on the floor anymore. So, like, even though we may never be together again, like, because of you, I'm a better person.
There's a little bit of mixed feelings, right?
Mm-hmm.
That,
but
like,
it's
mostly.
But in terms of a love song, it's more of a self-love song, isn't it?
That's true. Yeah, like, I'll be okay.
This isn't a romantic love song as such.
No.
It's really getting on with life,
mm-hmm.
and the bittersweet feeling of I want you back and I'm not a victim. She was quite a symbol, wasn't she, Jewel, for being a strong young
yes.
woman?
Yes. Yeah.
She's not going to be sitting home pining for some guy waiting for the phone to ring, it doesn't sound like.
There's a lot of lyrics, though. That's one thing about the song.
There's a lot of words. Yeah.
It's a folk song. Oh my God, it's a folk song.
But there's a lot of specificity in the lyrics. It's not just, it's not random.
Well, that's what's so cool in the contrast between the chorus and the verse, because the verse is all maple syrup, yolks and eggs and keys on the door, and then dreams last so long when you're gone, you love me. So it's really interesting, because all the verses are very much about day-to-day, everyday life, like the Beatles song, woke up, grabbed a cup of coffee, went down, you know. But then the chorus goes off into this whole thing of being more philosophical about the whole situation.
Yeah.
And then she goes to a bridge. Is the bridge, I go about my business, I'm doing fine?
Yeah, that's the bridge.
So that's, again, taking a different, slightly different point of view in a bridge. Besides, what would I say if I had you on the line? It's the same old story. So this is classic in a bridge, where you take a different point of view than you've had in other parts of the song. So she's describing her life in detail, then being philosophical about dreams and things. And then in the bridge, she's taking, I call it the bridge, the step back and look at the whole story from 30,000 feet or from a bridge, and you're looking at the river, right? So she actually does that here, and she says, you know, why bother? Hearts are broken every day. And now back into the song, right? Mm-hmm. Now she's brushing her teeth. So I think it's a very cool song.
It is. No, it's great. Obviously, it sold a gajillion. Mm-hmm. So.
Yeah. It took me a long time to pick this song. Like, I agonized.
What else did you consider?
There, like, a couple of other songs, and I thought, this is so much stress. And everyone said, oh, just go with your gut.
Well, what else did you consider, Vanessa?
There's a song by Macklemore, and he wrote it. He has the rapper singer Macklemore. He has a daughter who's maybe one or almost one now, and he wrote a song to her, and it was really sweet. And, like, you know, I may not always be there because I have to be on the road to make money to buy you things, but I was there for your first breath, but maybe not your first step. It's very sweet, but not like anything else that he's written. And Ed Sheeran sings in the background, and it's a very nice. And so I thought, okay, instead of like your classic boy-girl relationship or breakup song, it'd be like a parent kind of relationship.
Well, you kind of got that with The Jewel too, because like it's like I said, it's more of a self-love song.
That's
than a romantic love song. Although the very end of the chorus kind of still bugs me, because "you were meant for me and I was meant for you" doesn't seem like a self-proclamation. It seems like going a little bit back into that dependency
thing.
It's real,
though. It's real. Well, like, it's a real feeling that's persisting.
Yeah, that is true. That is true.
There's a little bit of "you idiot" in there. In brackets.
Yes.
Fool.
Hey, Tim, what did you think?
I enjoyed it. I remember that song growing up as well. And I have to say, like, Jewel is definitely one of those anthems when you're with your girls sitting around. You can listen and sing along to a bit of Jewel. And I think she does write relationships, like the aftermath, so well. Like, even her song about the cowboys. You go wash, or was it, "I'll go wash the dishes while you go have a beer," her song about the cowboys. Like, she's a lady that I feel was hard done by, but does not take it anymore anyway.
I also, like, debated some Dido songs. They're very similar.
Oh,
they were around the same time.
Oh, yeah.
Their voices are a little, it's like the American and the British version of the same thing. But, yeah, it was like, so much stress, so...
Well,
it wasn't easy
choice,
at all.
It's a good choice.
We'll give you
good
more
choice.
Notice next Valentine's Day.
At least 3 months in advance.
I mean, the verses are very long, which is interesting. I mean, unusually long for a pop song.
Yeah, but there's a lot of stuff in there.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, but I'm saying
Is the song longer in 8:10? Do you know the timing on the song? Was it over 4?
I am not entirely sure.
Doesn't matter. It was a little longer.
Privy
That's
to
okay.
that information at the moment.
Not
but
enough.
It looks like we're almost out of time. We have to start wrapping up soon.
Yes.
Well, yeah. Thank you, everybody, for bringing your songs. It was really interesting surprising.
Before we end off, because we had a few seconds, what do we think of what makes a good love song? And it should be a positive love song, not a brokenhearted love song. That's
what
a totally
makes a positive
thing.
Love song for me is that the writer is speaking authentically about something that they believe in. That's it. It's done with honesty. And not what they think love should be, but rather their felt experience.
Right. Yeah, for me, there's the good love songs to me are the ones that have a little bit of nuance. They're not just a simple "I love you." There's something else. There's something else of substance in there.
Right.
Some other emotional qualities. Not necessarily dark, but just nuance.
Okay. Vanessa?
It just has to evoke something, specifically in the listener, I guess. So that each listener has some sort of feeling
for you. You want to feel something.
Yeah, not just, that song, whatever. Like, it, you know, spoke to me because of this, or...
Mm. Hey, Tan?
You guys have covered it all once again. I would say sincere, clear, from the heart. There's no need to be fussy about these things. Just be yourself and it will come through on a song.
And Sharon just tweeted in saying that it should make you remember what it's like to be in love.
Yeah.
There you go.
What about you, Phil? What's important in a love song for you?
Well, a happy love song is interesting. I always become more attracted to the brokenhearted stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess I think it's something kind of honest and new and a bit different, you know?
All right, and that's all the time we have tonight on Song Talk Radio with Bruce, Neil, and Phil. Send us your impressions on Twitter at Song Talk Radio. Email feedback at songtalk.ca. Facebook and YouTube at Song Talk Radio, or stop by the site at songtalk.ca. Also, you can subscribe to the Song Talk Radio podcast on iTunes at songtalk.ca/iTunes. And don't forget to sign up for our free newsletter at songtalk.ca. And if you hear us on iTunes, please say we liked it, because reviews help us be listened to by other people who don't know about us yet. You can find links to all the products, books, and web services we mentioned on Song Talk Radio on the resources page at our website, songtalk.ca/resources. If you're in the Toronto area, please join us at our next Songwriters Roundtable meetup. That's tomorrow, Wednesday, February 15th from 7 to 10 at the Transact Club. It's free to join on meetup, and it's free to attend the roundtable. Stop by songtalk.ca/meetup for all the juicy live music details. We'd like to thank CJRU 1280. our home station. For over 3 years, we've had access to their airwaves and the support. Thank you to Vanessa for handling the Magic social media channel.
Thank you, Vanessa.
And thank you, Etan, for your magic on the mixing board.
Thank you.
I don't know why I have an accent now. Maybe it's the Russian guys coming next week. And, of course, thank you, home listeners, wherever in the world you are, because we're streaming all over the world. If you're on Twitter, you can follow Neil at...
@MondoArt.
Phil at...
@DPhilEmery.
Vanessa at...
@Sunny_Vanessa.
Etan at...
@Tawny_Orv.
And please don't follow me. It makes me nervous. Be sure to stop by our informative and entertaining and thrilling website at songtalk.ca. Browse all our past shows, 158 of them, and find out who you could be a guest on our show. Good night, everybody.
Good night, everyone.
Keep on waiting.